Chapter 6. A Question of Color. In December 1941, the United States entered World War II. Soldiers fought in Europe against Germany and Italy, and in the South Pacific against Japan. Louis Armstrong went overseas to entertain American soldiers. Playing at military bases in Europe and Asia, he helped bring the sound of jazz across the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. In 1942, Louis married again. Lucille Wilson was the perfect wife for him. Though she had been trained in music, she was not a musician. Instead, she devoted herself to making her husband happy. When Louis returned to New York City from a tour in 1943, Lucille told him to meet her at 3456 107th Street in Corona, a neighborhood in Queens. He arrived there but didn't see her, so he knocked on the door. Lucille opened it and said, "Welcome home, honey." The house was completely furnished. There was a hot meal waiting for him. The house in Corona was exactly the home Louis had always wanted. Lucille and Louis lived there for the rest of his life. The war ended in 1945. So did the popularity of big bands. Louis tried a small band called Louis Armstrong and His All-Stars. Some of the musicians were black and some were white. Long before segregation came to an end, Armstrong was working with an integrated band, blacks and whites together. He knew that skin color did not count. What mattered was the music and how well you could play it. The All-Stars played all over the United States and Europe, too. In 1949, Time magazine featured a photograph of Louis Armstrong on the cover of its February 21st issue. It pictured him as the king of jazz, wearing a hand-drawn crown of cornets, his first instrument. He was also crowned king of the Mardi Gras in his hometown of New Orleans. The mayor gave him the keys to the city. He was welcomed as a local hero. During the 1950s, Louis Armstrong kept performing with his All-Stars. Even though rock and roll became the new musical craze, people still wanted to listen to Armstrong. The country was changing in other ways, too. The civil rights movement began to challenge the old laws. Blacks wanted equal housing, schools, and job opportunities. Slowly, life for black people, especially in the South, began to change. Many blacks felt that Louis had betrayed them. He hadn't been active enough in the struggle for equality. They even called him Uncle Tom, after a character in a famous 19th century novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin. In the book, Uncle Tom never stands up to his white owner, but tries instead to please him by obeying. Calling a black person an Uncle Tom was an insult, and Louis Armstrong was hurt and surprised. "How can they say that?" he wrote. "I've pioneered in breaking the color lines in many southern states. I've taken a lot of abuse, put up with a lot of jazz, even been in some pretty dangerous spots, through no fault of my own, for almost 40 years. He and Lucille traveled to Africa for the first time in 1956. Louis wanted to visit the land of his ancestors, in the colony of Gold Coast. It is now the country of Ghana. Fans met him at the airport. African tribesmen carried him by hand in a sedan chair, as was their custom. More than 100,000 people attended his concert. Armstrong appreciated the warm welcome. It helped him forget about the insults in the United States. In 1957, the governor of Arkansas tried to stop the first black students from attending an all-white school. Louis Armstrong spoke out now. He made his first public statement about race and civil rights. "It's getting so bad, a colored man hasn't got any country," he told a reporter. And he added that the governor of Arkansas was an uneducated plowboy. Louis Armstrong was standing up to racism in his own way.